Well, here we are at the end of this excellent preaching series that Chris has kindly prepared for us, looking at how the people of Israel were delivered by the Lord out of bondage in Egypt with the promise of bringing them into the promised land, a beautiful land flowing with milk and honey. Our thoughts as leaders behind this series was to grasp, if possible, lessons that we could learn today as we as a church move out of lockdown, well, hopefully move out of lockdown, into a new period in the church's life in which we do not assume we do the same old things as we've done before, but are open to the Holy Spirit guiding us into all the new possibilities the Lord lays before us. I wonder if I gave you a piece of paper and I asked each of us to write down the greatest disappointments of our lives, I wonder what we would put down. I think that though our experiences are different and unique, most of us will have experienced some disappointments. Maybe it was your education, your career, or some family situation that was beyond your control. Or maybe it's your life as a Christian. Did you know that many people find or think that there is a huge gap between what they expect from their Christian life and from what they actually experience? We learn to have high expectations from God, an expectation that comes from a steady diet of books, sermons, and testimonies that all promise triumph and success. We've been taught to expect dramatic evidence of all God's work in our lives. The problem is that if we don't see that evidence in the way we thought we should, we're left deflated and disappointed. And disappointment happens when the actual experience of something falls short of what we actually expected. I wonder if the prevailing attitude of the people recorded here in Joshua chapter 1 may be one of disappointment. They had a high expectation of the new life that God had promised when they left Egypt, but things didn't happen like they should have taken place. Many people had died in the wilderness. They'd lost family and friends. And I think that it's likely that the people could have become frustrated, maybe even downright fed up with being a follower of God. Maybe they even had a cry in their hearts, "Where's God when you need him?" God had promised them a land flowing with milk and honey, a land where they could live, raise their families, a land they could actually call their own, given by God. But that promise was now 40 years ago. Oh, boy, have we been misled. What is important in this passage that we've read today is that God's promise could have been fulfilled over 38 years ago. We all know the story of how the nation of Israel came to the Jordan River, of how they sent out the 12 spies to search out the land. And the Bible records how the spies came back and actually agreed that the land was very rich. It was everything that God had promised. Yet though everyone saw that the land was rich, 10 of the spies said that the task was too great. Basically, what they were saying was that it was so big that even God couldn't manage it. And so God's promise to the people took another 38 years to come to fruition. And I want us to think about that today, because it can so easily happen to us as believers that we, having been given promises of God, are so disheartened and disappointed that we fail to move into that which God has called us to do. For by refusing to believe the promises of God, they ended up wandering around in the desert. And we trust this won't be true of us here today. Can you imagine the frustration of Joshua? He'd seen the evidence over the years that the Lord was quite able not only to meet their needs, but to completely deal with whatever might be in their future. But the ten believed that the risk was too great. The barriers were too big, and by their own word, their view of the Lord was too small. They spoke themselves and others into defeat. I want to encourage you not to do that. If you have got a problem, a sense of failure in your heart, don't tell others about how desperate things are going to be when they try to trust the Lord. I've been in church meetings where people have been sowing seeds of faith for a new project, and people have stood up and said, "We've tried that before. We don't have the finances." And you can feel the faith draining out of people's hearts as they bring defeat upon the project that is being talked about. J.B. Phillips wrote a book some years ago entitled "Your God is Too Small," and he underlines these truths there, that we've got to be careful that we don't have such a small God that we don't expect him to do the things that he's promised. So now here we are back at the River Jordan, and this time the people have to deal with the death of Moses, who has been their leader for 40 years. Now, let's remember that earlier they had struggled when Moses was away for them for 40 days up the mountain communing with the Lord. But now he's gone permanently. So how are they going to respond? How are they going to cope without Moses around? The picture that we've been given here is one that a lot of Christian lives can look like if we're not careful. They seem to be stuck in their spiritual journey. And maybe today you can identify with these people because of something that has happened or not happened in your life. Maybe there's been some failure, and that failure just keeps causing you to step back from pressing forward. I remember a lady in my first church who, every time she endeavoured to step out with God, suddenly fell ill. And so she would step back. And every time that happened in her life, that when she tried to step out for the Lord, she began to feel ill. And so she'd give up. And we, as leaders, had to pray with her. She was actually one of the leaders' wives. We had to pray with her to help her to make that step and to trust God despite any feelings that she might have, to move forward with him, knowing that he would help her in the future that lay before her. So let's be careful that failure doesn't cause us to step back. Or maybe there's some secret sin in your life and the guilt of it keeps you from moving forward. Or maybe you lack discipline in your life, and instead of confessing it and seeking help, you've been blaming everybody else for your lack of spiritual growth. Or maybe you've been asked by the Lord to step out into a new ministry, and all you can see are the barriers and the giants. You're wondering why the Lord would be asking you to do that. Let him ask somebody else. Every week, many Christians find themselves in a spiritual desert, wandering around in the wilderness with the promised land of the Lord easily within sight. We've all heard about the promises of the Lord that inform us about a life of peace and joy, but many Christians just can't seem to cross over the river of unbelief and take possession of the promises that God has given them. And so we can wander around in the wilderness of defeat because of temptation, fear, or maybe even boredom. I believe that what the Lord has for us today will help us move forward with him instead of returning to the wilderness. First of all, the thing that God underlines with them is that Moses is dead. Moses is dead. Why was God bringing this to their attention? Well, what the Lord is actually saying is that sometimes we have to actually name out loud and face whatever it is that we can't get past. Whatever is causing us to hesitate, we need to identify Speak it out. Hand it over to the Lord and move forward anyway. The Lord wanted the people to know that they weren't going to change the fact that Moses was dead. And he wasn't going to come back to lead them. So they needed to move forward anyway. They needed to identify their fear and then say, we're going to move forward anyway, trusting God in the circumstances that they faced. And here is the thing. What Moses had accomplished was great. But those accomplishments were not to be looked at as an end in themselves. What Moses had accomplished was actually the preparation that they needed for the next step. The Lord wanted the people to see that their present position was just a comma and not a full stop in the nation's history. As long as the people obeyed the Lord and moved as though he was going to be with them, they wouldn't have reached a full stop. And I want to say with full authority here today that for you and I, believing that where we are at the moment is a full stop is a lie of the enemy. Yes, we have reached a comma in the life journey of SFC. For what has happened in our church in recent years can seem as though we have reached that full stop. What's the point? Where are we? We can't go on. Rubbish! God is with us. God is able to carry us forward. God is promising to be with us in whatever he asks us to do. So the Lord has so much more planned for us, and we must choose not to stop, but to move forward in confidence for all that he has planned for us. 38 years before, Israel had become the victim of their negative decision, and it took her 38 years to get back to where she is now. In Jesus' name, I say this is not going to be repeated here. We are moving forward in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want you to know that the Lord renews his promises to us, his people, every day, even as he did for the people of Israel. These people had lived with the promises of the Lord always before them for the past 40 years. He provided manna for them every day in the wilderness. Their clothes had never worn out. Their shoes hadn't worn out. I don't know how that managed to happen. Can you imagine having a pair of shoes that lasted you 40 years? In the midst of their mourning, of being disheartened, God is saying to them that they had stayed in that place long enough. The Lord wanted the people of Israel to know that his promises didn't end with the death of Moses. Look at what he's saying in verses 2 to 3. Now then, you and all these people, get ready to cross the River Jordan into the land I'm about to give them, to the Israelites. I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. Let me rephrase that. The Lord is saying that if they're willing to get up and get going, he will be with them and give them every piece of ground that they put their feet upon. And here is the thing. In the Hebrew, this is written in the past tense, which means that as far as God is concerned, this is a done deal. Notice in verse 5, no one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. God is saying to Joshua that he wants him to remember how he was with Moses. And then the Lord underlines to Joshua that he will be with him in exactly the same way. This is important for Joshua, who is now the new leader, to know that the Lord is going to be with him in the same way, because it shows the people that the Lord is with Joshua, leading and directing his life just as he was with Moses. Now, this is where a lot of Christians can make their mistake. They fail to hear God through the people that the Lord brings into their lives to bring guidance and encouragement. As a result, they end up staying in the wilderness, always looking across the promised land, but never entering and claiming it as their own. As Moses showed by his life that he spent time with the Lord, so too would Joshua be required to show that he was willing to sit at the feet of the Lord. The Lord was counting upon Joshua to lead the people so that they could fulfill the Lord's purpose for their lives. I want you to know that the Lord doesn't have someone else sitting in the wings to take over if Joshua refuses to take the lead. The Lord has made no provision for failure. A new day has dawned with new opportunities for the people to overcome. And the Bible says that without faith, it is impossible to believe the Lord. That's why we have the candle of faith here burning today. And here is the thing. The people will not possess the promised land unless they have the faith to believe in the Lord's promises and act upon them. And the same is true for each one of us. And the key to our success, as it was for Joshua and the people in those days, was doing things God's way. In verses 7 to 9, we read this: "Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go." Those same words come ringing down the centuries to you and I today. Do not be discouraged. Do not be afraid, for the Lord your God goes with you. You may be saying, well, I really do want to move on. I don't want to be stuck in the wilderness of failure or in the wilderness of my past attempts. You may be thinking you want to cross over the River Jordan and claim all the promises for God in your life. Well, how are we going to do it? Well, let's look at what God told Joshua to do. First of all, he says, be strong and courageous. The word strong here, as I looked it up in the dictionary, means the necessary emotional qualities to deal with stress, grief, loss, risk, and other difficulties. And the word courageous means the ability to face danger, difficulty, uncertainty, or pain without being overcome by fear or being deflected from a chosen course of action. And in this chapter, God instructs Joshua three times, be strong and courageous. And as in the New Testament, we know that Jesus says something like, verily, verily, I say unto you, or truly, truly, I say unto you. He underlines things twice. When God underlines something three times, he really means business. He wants you to have it in your mind forever and a day. Be strong and very courageous. Get those shoulders back. I'm a child of God. I can do what God asks me to do. Hallelujah. Isn't that right, Clyde?
Amen.
Amen. That's what I like to see. In this chapter, God speaks very much into the life of Joshua that he might be able to speak into the lives of those people that he leads. And God not only directs Joshua to be strong and courageous, but he tells him how to be strong and courageous. And all of us have probably faced situations where we've needed to be strong and courageous, but we've wondered, well, how do I do it? Well, God tells Joshua. And one of the biggest things for any follower of God is to be a person of compromise. Joshua was not to be that. Joshua could have easily said that he didn't have time to meditate on the word of God. I'm so busy looking after all these 2 million people. How on earth do you expect me to meditate on the word of God? But he didn't. He took the instruction. God says that you are to meditate on this book of the law, keeping it on your lips day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything that's written in it. The same instruction is true for you and for me today. How are we going to be strong and courageous? It's by reading and meditating and absorbing and believing the Word of God in our lives. This is what gives us the strength to be the men and women of God that He calls us to be. We don't suddenly get an injection of a special pump. I can be courageous now. You've got to read the Word, meditate upon it, believe it. God, I can be strong in you. I can be courageous because you are with me. This is what Joshua experienced and what he built into the people of Israel. The Lord wants me, you, everyone here, to be strong and courageous so that we can live the kind of life in the community in which we live in order that people around us will see the hand of the Lord at work. One summer evening during a violent thunderstorm, a mother was tucking her small boy into bed. She was about to turn off the light when he asked with a tremor in his voice, "Mummy, will you sleep with me tonight?" The mother smiled and gave him a reassuring hug. "I can't, dear," she said. "I have to sleep with Daddy." A long silence was broken at last by a shaking little voice saying, "The big sissy." Yes, we can all laugh, but courage is always needed to move forward in God's purposes. And the God of Moses is the God of Joshua and the God of you and me. And when the Lord makes his promises, he keeps them. If Joshua is to be strong and courageous, he must stand on the promises of the Word of God. And if we are to accomplish what God calls us to do and instructs us to do, we as well must stand on the promises of God. The problem is we can so easily be overwhelmed by our circumstances that we fail to hold on to what the Lord is saying. I had a little booklet that I produced in my first church for people whom I'd counseled. And it gave a whole long list of reasons as to why we should hold on. It was I entitled it, Holding On to What God Gives You. And I gave a lot of verses from Scripture that shows just how we could do that. Holding on is so important for you and I in a day in which the enemy tries to knock us down and swipe us out of functioning effectively. Today, if we are children of God, God has promised never to leave us nor forsake us. In fact, even in the prayer meeting at the beginning, Ian prayed, I think it was Isaiah 41 verse 10, that we do not need to be afraid because God will uphold us by his righteous right hand. Hallelujah. We've got to hold on to those sort of verses and trust them and trust God to fulfill them. We need to stay on the path. If Joshua is to be strong and courageous, he's got to stay on that path of following God wholeheartedly. He mustn't turn to the right or to the left, the scripture says. He mustn't compromise. He mustn't become distracted. He must not turn away from what the will of God is. Faithfulness is the key. I remember many, many years ago, I think it was in the first year that I was a minister in New Malden, that we had a missionary from India came to speak. In fact, for those of you that know Joan Donald, it was her husband, Ken. And I've never forgotten him standing in the pulpit and with tears flowing down his face saying, "God delivered me from a fear that I had in my life. It was that I needed to be successful and I felt such a failure. Then God said to me, 'I haven't asked you to be successful. I've asked you to be faithful.'" Brothers and sisters, we've got to keep on the path. Whether we're successful or not is not the issue. It's whether we're faithful to the calling of God in our lives. We need wholeheartedly to cast ourselves on the Lord and to sense the presence of the Holy Spirit leading our lives day by day. And the final point that I come to this morning is that we need to start the process. See, we've got here, God had told Joshua to be strong and courageous, etc. But it wouldn't have been any good if Joshua hadn't begun to assimilate the Lord's plan, to put it into action. Joshua chooses to believe what God has said, and he begins to demonstrate it. It is not enough simply to know the word of God, even to sense his presence. We must put into action what he tells us to do. And Joshua now begins that process. He takes action. He begins the task of moving forward. Notice in verse 11, we find directions from the Lord. He says, prepare yourselves. And then he says, in 3 days' time. So God says, prepare your hearts, and he gives us timing for what he wants us to achieve. And Joshua tells the people, that's what we're going to do. Prepare your hearts and lives, because in 3 days we're moving. May I offer as I close an example that we've all observed just recently as we have endeavoured to sense the new direction of God in this church. As a leadership of united trustees and leaders, we felt the Lord directing us to move into a new ministry, something that we'd never done before, the Shepherd's Pantry and Community Fridge. Well, was there a need for such a thing in Staplehurst? I mean, we're all such an affluent community, aren't we? Could we fulfill such a need, even if there was one? We chose to step out, and the Lord has honoured our decision to move. With finances and provision from various shops, individuals, and farm shops, etc. We actually set a date, but the Lord came before us, and Sainsbury started giving us stuff before we'd asked them to. You see, when you trust the Lord and believe that he's asking you to move into a new area, he begins to show that he means business. And people that have come in, and many have, I understand, have said how thankful they are that there's something like this available to them today. And if you spoke to Mary, she's got a number of people that have come to her to say thank you while she's been sitting there in the room. Brothers and sisters, God may be asking you to be involved in something new. Let's not be satisfied with the old thing. As we look back, we can say, yes, this church has been in existence for 50 years, and praise the Lord for all that he's done in a variety of ways over those 50 years. To bring us to where we are now. But we can't look back and just rely on what's happened in the past. We have to know that God says, I am with you now. And I am going to be with you. Can I say to every one of you, please, I beg you, in Jesus' name, be strong and courageous in the Lord Jesus Christ. And step out into what God asks you to do, even if you feel outside of your comfort zone. And he will bring a blessing to you and to others that you couldn't have even imagined. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm asking the worship group to come up and prepare themselves now as we draw our service to a close. But let's pray and ask God to help us to be those strong and courageous people. Lord, I thank you for the ability to be able to stand here today. I thank you for giving me the strength to be able to do it, Father. Thank you that you are the God who promises to fulfill everything that you say. I thank you that your word is truth. And I thank you that today we are able to put our trust in your word. Lord, we recognize that this word is given to us to build us up, to encourage us, to enable us to be strong and courageous. Help us to read it, to meditate upon it, to receive the comfort and strength that it offers to us. And Lord, we ask for your blessing upon the ministry and life of this church in this community, that we may be people that show the love of Christ to all around. Thank you, Lord. We love you and appreciate all that you do for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.